see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
He's having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, mid-season crisis.
Mid-season, midlife. It's like he woke up one day and he was like, I'm a 36-year-old man and I'm on The Bachelor dating a bunch of 24-year-olds in multicolored swim trunks.
I like those trunks.
Me too.
despite myself.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about The Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Hello, and welcome to Here to Make Friends. This is a show where women talk about women competing for a man's approval and butt squeezes. Unfortunately, this week there's a bit of a lady shortage, both last night's episode, kind of a bloodbath, and also on the podcast today. In case you hadn't noticed, I'm flying solo, Emma's out of town, but we can still have fun once we get over the stage where we're shaken and confused and crying quietly into our gauzy resort kimonos because our friends are disappearing without warning. It's okay. Here to discuss episode 6, the one where everyone gets chopped, our lovely guest, Kate Dries, deputy editor of Jezebel.com. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So this is more of like a one-on-one situation. Usually it's like a two-on-one.
Yeah, and then I get cut and go home.
Yeah, it's a reverse bachelor situation normally. And this, I don't really have a template for this. We haven't done a one-on-one podcast in a while, but I think we're going to get through it, just like the women did last night.
Some of them.
Some of the women made it through, and some of the women really did not. So we start all the way back with a cliffhanger. I'm losing track of all the cliffhangers.
Yeah, I think we're now at at least three, maybe four,
yeah,
where they haven't ended in a rose ceremony. So I'm assuming next week they're going to have to jiggle some stuff around to get it back on track. It is a little bit annoying, I'll say. It throws the rhythm off in a weird way, especially if you do it for too many episodes in a row. It's like, what's happening when?
Yeah, it really loses the impact,
yeah,
when they just keep doing it. It's like, okay, I'm just expecting that there's not going to be a rose ceremony tonight, and I'm going to go to bed without that fulfillment of knowing who went home.
Right.
And this is like at least our second straight Taylor Karim themed cliffhanger.
Which
can you believe Taylor was still around at the beginning of this episode? So much happened since then.
I mean, it's also amazing, like, how briefly she was around, though. Like,
yeah.
I kind of thought they were going to milk that even more than they already have been. And clearly they had too much to get through. And so she said
Thank
her piece.
God.
Nick was like, uh-huh. I think my favorite quote was when he said, I still have things I need to figure out. Like,
yeah,
that's what you're doing on the show.
Yeah. Also, whenever he says about Corinne, I still see potential for something there with her, I'm like, we know what you see potential
yeah.
for there. Like,
yeah.
you can – it's okay. We know what kind of guy you are, Nick. But, like, this is sort of what they did with Chad, too, where there was
mm-hmm.
a big cliffhanger to him coming back. And then he came back and was sort of like, hey, guys,
yeah.
I'm leaving now.
Ten minutes.
Left.
Yeah.
So shouldn't be surprised. And they really teased hard. Corinne maybe also going home. Lots of discussion of two girls going home on the two-on-one date. Of course, that was a misdirect.
Yeah. That one almost got me, I'll be honest.
Yeah,
they edited the promo really well. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe she'll go home.
Because they directly
Wrong.
Said,
Right.
Has that ever happened before that two girls have gone home on a 2-on-1 or something like that? And you're like, how? What else could it possibly be?
Right.
And foolish us.
Like, I know.
There's always something else.
I should be better than this, and I'm not still.
I know. I almost thought Ben was going to propose to JoJo last season. Like, I am so gullible.
Yeah.
That's I can enjoy the show.
That's pretty bad, Claire.
I know. And I was watching it actually at the Jezebel thing with all the people, and everyone was like, this is so lame. We all know what's going to happen. I was like, I don't know, guys. It might be JoJo. Listen, that's what allows me to really have fun with this show.
Yeah, take what you can get.
Yeah, I like have the perspective of a child. Okay, so Taylor leaves again. Corinne really hates Taylor. She thinks she's an evil bitch, et cetera, et cetera. And she says, what I learned today is cats have 9 lives and bitches have 2.
Do you think she is writing her own lines or, like, getting producer help?
I never know because
she has too many, like, quippy little – I noticed – I wrote a few of Raven had some good ones this episode, too. Those felt a little more genuine to me. But also, Corinne's could totally be hers, and she just prepped them before the show because, like, she so clearly planned out her entire arc on this television show.
She's like an animated Instagram personality.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, it feels natural that she would say stuff like that because if I saw that girl on Instagram, like, her memes and stuff and her selfies, that's what she would be saying. But it does seem unlikely that they're – I think it's most likely that the producers just, like, give her champagne and let her go for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's bound to be – like, they're like, what did you learn today, Corinne? First 5 answers are
golden.
And then suddenly it starts to flow.
I just stylistically, I felt like there was a lot of good stuff in this episode style-wise just because they go to St. Thomas or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But before they even get there, in the rose ceremony, she's wearing – have you noticed this is, like, a trend – on this show and others where it's like the slit in the dress is like in the middle of the thigh and it just basically makes you look like you're wearing a dress that's too small for you. And I have been started noticing this everywhere and she was wearing it and I was like, of course she was wearing that dress.
You know what? I've never thought about it that way.
Once you see it, you will not be able to unsee
it.
Now
I'm thinking of my one skirt that has a slit like that and I'm like, I'm burning that when I get home.
Sorry. Sorry to ruin your closet.
It was from Forever 21. It was like $3. No, that's a really there are certain specific things that keep cropping up on The Bachelor, even
like
as other
tops.
Styles change. Yes, exactly. We saw a lot of rompers this episode.
So many rompers, a lot of kind of like – I mean, once you get to the tropical lands, they bring out every single flowing dress in a bright color possible.
Oh, yeah. A lot of resort wear.
Yeah.
Which is, I've learned a category. Like when I try to go buy a sweater at J. Crew in the winter, there aren't any because all they're selling is resort wear. Because apparently, J. Crew customers just vacation all winter.
Yeah,
it makes me feel great. I wanted to call out Jamie's cocktail party look because I thought she looked awesome.
What was she wearing
before she got cut?
Well, yeah, before she went home,
she had like a sparkly sort of dress on, but she was wearing like lilac lipstick.
Very purple lip, yeah.
And her hair was sort of piled up.
Yeah, she does take some risks, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Later on, speaking of Raven, did you notice that her dress, she was at one point wearing like a neon yellow, but it was shorts and then just kind of a robe over it.
No.
Yeah, go back and check that out.
I'm getting desensitized to Bachelor Fashion.
It was really like no outfit I've ever seen before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be seeing it everywhere soon because they're the trendset. And she owns a fashion boutique, so.
Oh, you're right. Never forget.
Yeah.
Her beautiful boutique.
So that's the thing. She has the pick of whatever clothes she wants as opposed to, well, I guess Corinne probably does too.
Yeah.
And they came up with a neon yellow shorter all sort of thing.
Yeah.
And a dress that looks too small.
Yeah.
So they're doing great. So at the rose ceremony, there's no cocktail party because Nick knows what he wants to do, which he should at this point because there are like 5 women who he ever speaks to.
Right.
And everyone else.
Right.
So Corinne and Rachel already have roses. And roses also go to Christina, Raven, Vanessa, Danielle L., Jasmine, Whitney, Danielle M., and going home are Alexis, Josephine, and Jamie.
Hardly knew ye.
Yeah.
Alexis was a little sad, but I know she'll be great on Paradise. So it's like
that's, she wasn't meant for this world.
That's like where she's meant to shine. Mm-hmm. You know, she actually has a sense of humor. It'll be able to be in full effect there.
Yeah. She's more of like a – like The Bachelor is so much about self-control. And she's more of like a good time girl.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different show.
Yeah.
And she made it far enough to get invited, so that's perfect. Jamie, not surprised, kind of sad that she only appeared to have like two very briefly clipped in conversations about how she's bisexual.
Yeah.
And then bye. Josephine, I hate now because she was backing Corinne up and I'm just a complete anti-Corinne person.
Honestly, like I could not even tell you what her face looks like. I'm trying to visualize
Josephine
it.
Josephine has like really strong features and long blonde hair.
Oh, yes. I bet she'll be on Paradise too.
I could see that. She's like a theater girl. We saw some evidence of that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. That was really painful.
Yeah. Oof. So finally, they're heading out of the country. They're going to St. Thomas, to a St. Thomas hotel. Is this the best hotel they've been in yet this season?
They seemed excited.
They seemed into it. But they were also excited by the Marriott.
I will say the entire time they were in St. Thomas, I was like, I want to go on vacation.
Mm.
And then immediately started looking up flights to Jamaica afterwards. So good marketing. Maybe not for that hotel.
Yeah, I know. You were like, I'd like to go on vacation, but not here. At one point, Jasmine was like, I don't need to be here. I've already been to St. Thomas. And I was like, it's not really like a one-time thing. It's
right.
A tropical vacation that seems like it would be fun every time.
Though they definitely were there in the off-season, right? Because they filmed this and I'm sure they were there in like October and it did not look incredibly
beautiful.
It looked
a little stormy.
A little stormy, especially when, you know, Nick goes off on his date with Christina.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing a lot of that, like, starting the date with the group all standing there and everyone's like, what are we going to do? And then, right, like, yeah, we're so excited. And then it's like, you're coming with me and the rest of you are going back to the hotel and you can just feel like the air kind of like suck out of the space.
Yeah, it's very – like I thought it was like a special thing for the Milwaukee date because he was welcoming them to his hometown. But I'm sure even if it was, they were like, this is brilliant. All the girls feel like crap. They just got rejected in front of everyone else.
Right. And they like are now standing on this windy dock in a romper.
Yeah.
Wishing they had like a sweater and some ice cream or something.
That would be a good combo. Like cool you down a little bit, warm you up a little bit. Well, and we find out – a little bit in between Christina's date, the luxuries that they're enjoying at the hotel, including a nanny named Lorna.
That, after the plantation
thing
from last week's episode and then, you know, watching a middle-aged black woman, like, dote on Corinne, I was like, I'm not here for this. Like,
I cannot watch this. I thought it was, like, a challenge at first. I was like, am I watching a show where she's going to be coming in and it'll seem like she's there to help them and then she'll say, but actually this is a date where you have to help me clean the hotel. This is not that show.
No.
Corinne was going to spend the whole day in bed drinking champagne.
Right.
As one does.
Right.
When one has some time to relax. And the great thing about champagne is when you open a bottle, you really have to finish
it. You do have to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't stick.
Yeah, that's the best thing about it. But then Lorna shows up, and Lorna allows her to really go to the next level of luxury. She can sit by the pool without her towel getting messed up because Lorna will come smooth the towel out. Lorna brings her pina colada. She brings her lobster dip. Corinne just likes listing things that people do in service of her. I mean, at least she recognizes that it's happening, but it's more like she's sort of like pleased with herself for having someone waiting on her.
I will say, despite, you know, a few Corinne highlights this episode, it was mercifully free of her. And I found it about 5,000 times more interesting because of it. Whenever they rely and they always I have started kind of formulating structure theories about the show because I've been watching it for too long and that's all I care about. And whenever they rely too much, like Chad is a great example, they rely too much on a villain character as the drama because, like, not enough has happened with the relationships to develop. It just – I, like, totally lose steam. I'm like, I just cannot care one more iota about this girl. And so finally in this episode, I was like, yeah, there's other stuff to pay attention to.
Yeah, it gets a little more layered. And we see, like, a variety of different kinds of conflicts happening, although not all of them are very well edited. as we'll get into. But yeah, Corinne, now that Taylor's gone, doesn't have a foil. She kind of falls into the background a little bit, hangs out with Lorna, who brings her stuff. And meanwhile, Christina is on her one-on-one, where it does look pretty. All I could think about was that it looked like sweaty and like they were going to get bitten by mosquitoes. It looked very like muggy and gray.
There was definitely one shot later in the episode where Danielle L., like just the way they had kind of cropped the shot, all I could stare at was just this massive mosquito bite on her leg. And I was like, that looks itchy and uncomfortable.
No.
I'm sorry, Danielle.
Yeah, I don't handle mosquito bites on dates very well.
I don't handle mosquito bites at any time. Well,
oh, no.
So I can't imagine being in St. Thomas trying to like look romantic and, and beautiful
I
for this
no
man.
I have no shame. I would be like, I'm sorry, I need to go take a really hot shower because that's the only thing that soothes the itching. I know this is like our very rare bit of time together, but this is
right.
I just won't be able to enjoy it. And that's why I would be exactly like Corinne if I were on the show. So finally, Christina gets the chance to kind of tell Nick all about her family history, and it's pretty dark. Christina's adopted from Russia. She has seven siblings, three of them also adopted, and she has a sister in Russia. And she kind of talks about her early childhood when she was living alone with her mom. And they were in really deep poverty and had to eat lipstick because there wasn't enough food. And then her mom kicks her out of the house when she's 5 years old, roughly.
Yeah. It sounds – I mean, when on this show have you ever heard the words prostitution before? Like, unless someone was, like, accusing someone else of being a prostitute.
Oh, yeah, that all the time.
But, yeah, I felt like Christina's – story was like one of the more interesting things I've heard ever on this program. You could tell Nick really didn't know what to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
But she was like really even keeled about it. I think a lot of times when women are kind of cast on this show for their tragic backstory, you end up, you know, watching them just kind of be manipulated into like a pile of tears and, it honestly makes me really sad for them. She seemed like she really had, like, ownership over this experience and was, like, very open about it. And it was nice to see her talk about it when, like, the last time she wanted to tell Nick about it, he was like, maybe later.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was hoping would happen is that he would follow that up by actually giving her a one-on-one right after. Because he sort of said, we don't have time to talk about this now, but thanks for being here.
Right.
I definitely want to affirm that you are here. And I
right.
was like, well, then you have to give her that time.
Right.
And he did. He definitely did not know how to handle it. And I think it was Danielle M's date when I thought that he handled her tragic revelation pretty well.
Yeah.
And this was like a step beyond for him.
Right.
He was like, I don't even know.
Like, I grew up in Waukesha, and my parents have been married for, you know, however many millions of years that he's
Which
so
is
obsessed
so
with.
Rare.
Yeah. So rare.
Do you know
rare.
Anyone whose parents are still married?
Yes, but not for that long.
That's true. But I don't know many people who are Nick's age. I don't know.
You mean elderly?
Elderly. He's an elderly gentleman. I don't know many people, like elderly men, whose parents are still married. So, like, the thing that got to me about Nick and Christina's date is he seemed really impressed by her. And he seemed like they do have some chemistry. She's definitely his type and, like, physically.
Yeah, for sure.
But I wonder if it doesn't seem fair to say this, but there's such a huge gap in life experience there.
Yeah, it didn't seem like they had necessarily a ton in common.
Right. And he said, you know, I can't even begin to imagine, which he can't. And it's good that he knows that. But that leaves them with the huge chasm in understanding. That's
right.
Hard.
It's like, what life traumas has Nick ever been through?
The Bachelor.
Right.
The Bachelorette.
Is his big life trauma is that he's been on this show for four seasons.
Yeah, he was
which
like,
is self-inflicted.
Normally now when you start talking about your trauma, I talk about how I was dumped on The Bachelorette.
Right.
But I can't do that because that
Twice.
Would look really tacky right now. So.
Right. So he just has to like nod. It sort of reminded me of Brad Womack's second season where people would talk mm-hmm. about things and he would just kind of like furrow his brow and like stoically stare at them and like nod like, yes.
That's an interesting comparison because I think that Brad decided he was going to pick Emily like right away. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely. Now in hindsight, I'm like, how did I even watch this season? She was while it was happening, we all knew that Emily was like the shining star.
Yeah. And then also looking back now, she was like 24 and he was 38.
A child. Yeah. It crazy. Was,
if that, if
she
I had
seemed
been
older
it now.
Because she had also had a, you know, tragic backstory.
Yeah, and a child.
A child, yeah.
No, that's true. And she was very, like, put together in the Southern
right.
belle tradition.
Right.
But so young.
The only moment, yes, that I would ever compare Brad and Nick.
I hope so.
Though they both have been on multiple seasons of this show, so I guess they have more in common than I think.
Yeah, and their redemption story is he didn't end up with someone on a previous season. Can he do it now?
Right.
And Brad also, sorry, I'm like into this, but but Brad had that intro to one of the women where she slapped him for every woman in America.
Oh yeah,
and it reminded me of that when Taylor came out and was like, "Everyone hates you."
Yeah,
but I don't.
Right, all my friends think you're an asshole, and he was like, I'm loving this vibe."
So what I'm hearing is, I'm not going to be accepted by your social circle.
Right.
That seems like a great start. yeah. So. Christina, Nick,
fine.
He gives her the rose. And then it's time for a group date, Love is a Beach, with Rachel, Raven, Vanessa, Corinne, Danielle M., and Jasmine. Jasmine is already, we've seen, have a little meltdown mm-hmm. because she thought it was time for her to have a one-on-one. And she didn't get one. She tries to be sort of gracious about it, like it's not Christina. It's her fault. I'm not upset, but it's not fair, and is like in tears. So great setup for group date with Jasmine on a beach playing volleyball.
Drunk.
And
just
like why would you start a sports date by taking shots?
I mean, it seemed perfect from a producer standpoint. Like,
oh, that's why.
Being competitive is like the best way to bring out the worst in people. I would say I'm like – a decent human, like somehow, debatable. Somehow, when I start like playing any game, I'm just like,
oh yeah.
And especially when you add the layer of like these women want to impress Nick, they think that this game will, which is like
they
what?
Always think that, and
he
it never does.
Care.
The guy's never like, wow, she really pulled out a great, like, sliding bumper, whatever in volleyball terms
there are.
And also,
like, the sky was kind of overcast. It just looked like a bummer. Corinne was, again, very drunk. I think, what did Raven say? Raven said, I'm sure Corinne would be an amazing volleyball player if she wasn't drunk. And it's like,
Yeah, that was good. I've heard a lot of people, like, will say, oh, Corinne's always drunk. Or conversely, I don't want to assume that Corinne's drunk. Now we definitely know she's drunk, but like it was obvious. We very rarely see her say a sentence without slurring at least one of the words in it.
Yeah, there were a few other like very classic producer tricks I thought in this scene. They do that thing to her where they like blur out the bottom of her bikini to make it seem like it's like inappropriate for TV. When I like highly doubt that it. Like, is worse than anything you'd see on, like, Scandal.
I think that started with Jillian.
Yeah, and they haven't let it go, and I find it really boring and uninteresting.
Yeah.
And
rude. Like,
Oh, and then, chill. Like, in the preview, they made it look like the volleyball game got so intense that Jasmine, like, violently pushed Corinne over. And then, like, in the actual episode, you see that they're just, like, drunk and, like, falling over the place.
Jasmine's kind of getting a little punchy, like, punch drunk.
Right,
like,
but Corinne's just like, meh.
Yeah, like, first, Jasmine, at least the way it's edited, is sort of roughhousing with Nick, trying to get his attention, like, kid on a playground style. And then she's sort of roughhousing with Corinne, who isn't into it. But, yeah, it's not...
There were
really
also
an incident at
some
all.
Weird, like, open-ended edits in this part of the episode that did not...
That didn't track.
They did not track very well. Like, the date basically just, like, fizzles out. You have, like, all these women sitting separately, like, staring out into the water.
It's very weird.
And it seemed very clear that, like, Nick was clearly elsewhere having, like, one-on-one time with someone, and they just, like, decided not to air any of that footage.
Yeah. It's very odd because Well, part of it, I think, is they set up a competitive date, which is great for generating conflict, but they did it pretty late in the season with a small group of girls. Like, normally you would see a date like this, like the second episode, like we did with the track and field thing.
Right, or like soccer or whatever.
Yeah. And so they're at a point now, where the girls are more invested. They're feeling more jealous. They're pretty close to the time when they're all going to be separated from each other.
Yeah.
And they throw in the competitive date. And apparently, and this is what Emma sent me, a text that she heard that on this date, the reason that the girls got so upset is because the winning team was supposed to get extra time with Nick, like on a classic competitive group date situation. Right. And the winning team was Rachel, Raven, and Corinne. However, when Vanessa started crying because she wasn't getting time, he let them all have more time. So it was the classic, first you upset half of them and then you upset all of them.
Right.
All the girls feel like they aren't special.
Yeah, it's really too late in the game to be doing that, like, that level of a mind game.
Yeah.
Like, the tricks have to be a little more subtle, I think.
Like, I feel like the producers are really just trying to fuck next season over. Like, they're like, wouldn't it be more interesting, though, if all the girls hated him? Because, like, Vanessa and Rachel at this point have had these really strong one-on-one dates with him. They're expecting to get singled out to get special time.
Right.
And they really question themselves when that doesn't happen. And we saw Vanessa saying, you know, I've been so patient, I can't keep doing this. That was probably in reference to the whole thing they cut out where she wasn't going to get time with him.
It was just like very – that makes so much sense. There was just a lot of stuff where I was like, there is clearly a huge chunk of this that you just like lifted out and think that it's sort of working this way. And I don't buy any of it.
Yeah, it didn't – because basically they were all playing – at one point, Corinne goes over, because as Corinne has a lot of non sequiturs in this episode, she thinks she's very athletic, but also she hates playing volleyball and she wants to go take a nap. So instead, she goes to go take a shot and Nick sort of follows her. And the girls, other girls get kind of annoyed by this. At the same time, it's a 3-on-3 game, so, you know, you need to keep the numbers even. And then they kind of flow that into Vanessa and Rachel not wanting to play anymore.
Right.
And the date falling apart, but that doesn't really seem to follow on they don't seem to follow on each other. It just seems spontaneous that half the women are pissed and sad.
And then he's like, everyone's mad. And I, what's going on? And so then you kind of go into the cocktail party later and he's like, what does he say? He says something about like, I guess I'm basically just implies that he knows he has to do like a lot of damage control.
Yeah.
Some of which went better than others.
Definitely. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but please don't go anywhere. When we get back, Kate and I will have more on this amazing episode of The Bachelor.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know,
people aren't mind readers. We don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We Truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Before we get back to the show, have you had a chance to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes? If not, now is the perfect time to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show climbs the iTunes chart, which helps other people discover our show.
Okay, now back to the show. So I guess the cocktail hour was just going to originally be Rachel, Corinne, and Raven.
Mm-hmm.
But it ends up being all the women. And so Jasmine is still, like, increasingly, probably the shots are not helping, really bugging out. But Nick steals all the other women first to talk to them.
Or at least they made it look like he did.
Yeah. And she reacts as though that's happening.
Right.
She definitely doesn't get called first.
No, for sure. I mean, but again, like, why would he? They have – at this point in the game, it's like, read the clues. Like,
right.
You – and this
it's
is something
the Dominique situation.
Right. Like, this is something I've heard from, like, a lot of, you know, a lot of former contestants have said this, like, later on, is, like, at a certain point, you, like, know what's going to happen, and you just kind of, like, ride it out because, like, you're on this free vacation, essentially. And I guess Jasmine was, like, she claims she's really into Nick. I'm, like, I think a lot of it is just, like, Stockholm Syndrome, where you have tricked yourself into thinking that you're super amped about this person, especially because you're spending so much time thinking about them because that's literally why you're there, and they're spending, like, one-eighth of the time thinking about you. So just, like, automatically, the scales are so unbalanced.
Yeah, and I don't think that she is comfortable with that dynamic, and that's kind of the primary focus, like the way that Taylor's primary focus became whether Nick – could like someone like Corinne.
Right.
Jasmine's primary focus is, why should I spend my time on a guy who isn't focused on me?
Right.
Which is a fair question, except that that is
the
structure
of
the
show. Yeah. It sort of starts to go out the window.
Yeah. But first, Nick talks to Rachel. He can tell she's upset, and she does not reassure him on that front. It was a very rocky conversation, I thought.
I felt like – I sort of wonder sometimes, you know, how much can you trust, you know, whether you like characters or not on the show or people on the show? Because Rachel is obviously, like, a huge fan favorite. She seems, like, really smart, really good head on her shoulders, was really, like, interesting and chill in the New Orleans date they had. And then I sort of wonder, like, once you think that about someone – and the show wants you to think that about someone, or they just – is it just a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? And I felt like that conversation was definitely one of those things where I was like, yeah, she's, like, handling this, like, about as well as you could. And then it's like you watch Jasmine, and, like, Jasmine handled this about as terribly as you could. And I'm sure the truth is, like, a little less clear-cut than I think it is from watching this episode.
That's definitely true. And I think that we're also capable of being switched – more than – because, like, I think that Taylor was relatively popular at first.
Yeah.
And then they did a really great job of
making
setting her up
seem,
against Corinne.
Yeah, like, uptight and whatever.
Exactly. And so that totally – and then people started to feel bad for Corinne in that scenario, which I still don't really understand.
Yeah.
But, no, it's true. When you like someone, and sometimes people accuse us of being biased, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a human person. I like some of them better.
Well, I also think that you can see how Nick responds to mm-hmm. them, right? And that changes. Like, I think you're more apt to be sympathetic to someone that he is you know, having a positive interaction with, unless everything else you're being told about that person is that they're like two-faced and terrible, which is always the case with at least one person every season.
Right. And sometimes that's true.
I think like it was really interesting to see kind of Rachel be like, I'm having a hard time, but like express it pretty calmly. And like he was clearly rattled by the conversation.
Yeah.
And then like counterpoint that with like Jasmine, who was like, I just want to choke you. And he was like,
oh man,
sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. No. I've never seen his reaction was so, normally he's like kind of diplomatic.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He was just like, I don't like this.
Yeah, that was okay. Well, yeah, we have to really go in on that. I think the thing that really got me about the Nick and Rachel conversation is it reminded me of when he talked to Vanessa mm-hmm. about Corinne and the bouncy house.
Yeah.
Is that Rachel sort of expressed that she wasn't sure that she needed to be there, and he got really freaked out.
Yeah.
And started trying to like interrupt her and convince her to stay.
Yeah.
And finally she's like, you know, well, I'll let you know how I'm doing. Like, even if I'm on my way out, I'll let you know. And he's like, what? No, like,
right.
not then, before that, and then I'll fix it.
Right.
You need to, like, so he was still, I think, not feeling amazing at the end of that conversation.
He's not, like, a natural, I think, because he has been, like, a non-lead so mm-hmm. many times. It's clearly not his, what he's used to.
Right.
Like, being in the power position, quote unquote. He
yeah.
like doesn't, he like at times knows what he's doing, and then at other times is like, wait, no, but I'm the contestant and I'm supposed to be convincing you. And it's like he doesn't know how to kind of like throw that power around a little bit for his
yeah.
own benefit.
No, he's bad at compartmentalizing his relationships, and he's also, yeah, he's used to being the one who puts all the work in.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think that could be a good thing once he actually ends up with someone.
Right, totally.
If that ever happens. We believe in you, Nick. Corinne is also having a really hard time. I wrote in my notes. I'm sure she just said that. She's
was
having
this,
a really hard time.
Was this the point that she said, I want to go lie down? She says that every episode.
She said it like several times.
Yeah.
I can't keep up. I think they just don't even bother including her naps anymore. They're just assumed.
Yeah.
And so Jasmine finally gets pulled aside by Nick, and she is already – she's been, like, drunkenly monologuing to everyone as they quietly stare at her awkwardly.
Right. Everyone's just kind of like, oh, no.
Yeah, like, no one wants to be the one to say, Jasmine, maybe he's just not
right.
interested.
Right.
So instead they just watch her while she rants. Okay, so they sit down at a picnic table, as one does.
Sure.
On a romantic date. And she starts to say that she just really is frustrated. She wants time, and she's not getting his attention or his validation, and she's just so frustrated. She's so frustrated. She just wants to choke him.
Yeah, and his face... I feel like it's, like, burned in my retinas. Like, he just was like, oh, this is not good. Like,
and then, especially because she doesn't notice that he's
– right.
Or she notices that he's freaked out, and she's like, I know how I can fix this. I'll actually lightly choke him
right.
to show him.
It was such a, like, this is my personality, and I'm going to be, like, kind of – I think we're being funny and playful, and I don't actually know this person very well, and they – are exhausted and like have just spent a day and night like placating all these other women that they actually have relationships with, and I've like convinced myself that we're at a place that we are not at all, and it was really interesting to see how just like a switch turned on in his brain. He was like, this is it. Like, it's such a hard balance, I think, to strike between like what someone can do effectively to be like, this is annoying me, pay attention to me, and to kind of like turn on that part of a person's brain that is like, oh, they like me, I'm like fucking up, I need to do something better, and like overboard, which is what
yeah.
Jasmine did.
Well, I think there is an element that you can't control, which is, as someone who has been in the Jasmine situation and the Rachel situation in the past – on The Bachelor. No, I'm no, but like, you can't control whether that person cares whether you leave. And, you know, I've
talked about like being in a really on and off relationship in college to our poor listeners. But like there were times in the relationship when it was relatively strong. And if I threatened to be like, I can't put up with this, I would know I had that power. Like, right. He cared. And then there were the times when I'd try to pull it and he'd be like, I'm so fed up with this. I literally couldn't give less of a crap right now.
Right.
And Jasmine, she can't like, control whether he cares.
Right. She like kind of vastly, and I'm, you know, who knows what the producers were telling her, like who knows what else was happening. But like clearly the situation aligned itself enough that she kind of thought this was the move, and it like really was not the move.
Yeah, it's one of those that like sometimes the move really is to just be honest and to assume a little bit more intimacy than you already have.
Right.
Because that but tricks like their brain into thinking.
A little bit is the key right. term.
Also, I just don't think that they're a good match. Like, clearly, no. Clearly, if he was into that sort of thing, then he would have been like, where's the side of you been all along?
I do think. So what's crazy is he sends her home and then like that the date is over and you don't see him telling the women.
Yeah.
So like that was another very weird editing thing where it was like, oh, they just jammed all this stuff.
Yeah.
This episode.
We just found out about the group date rose because in a voiceover.
Right. Like Raven
got the rose.
Right. We just hear someone say that. But yeah. The one thing Jasmine did say before she left that I thought was really notable was she said, I don't think it's going to work out for him. And the way she said it, like, obviously it was coming from a place of anger and frustration.
Yeah.
But it was so matter of fact that I was like, oh, that is, like, the meanest thing you can say to Nick or about
yeah.
Nick. Like, that is, like, his biggest nightmare is that,
that is,
he's going to
really
be rejected.
It feels like she really zeroed in on that and was like, play that for him.
Right,
and then
exactly.
I'll get my own back. Another thing that Emma heard from her source is that they cut out a lot more of Jasmine's flip out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And
it did seem very tame.
Yeah.
Given how like upset she had been the rest of the episode.
Yeah. And also that he had wanted to send her home earlier, but producers wouldn't let him.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me because they didn't really have. And that's why I think I would get a little crazy is wanting to be like, but really, am I here because producers see a need for me, or am I here because you like me? And that's all you have to think about.
Yeah.
Apparently, there was even more of a fallout from that situation. But we don't see it. We don't see the group date rose.
And then they're kind of go on to this two-on-one that both the women
two-on-one.
Are like, why am I in this two-on-one?
They just couldn't get enough of the two-on-one dynamic this season.
Yeah,
it's
it was
Whitney
interesting.
And Danielle L.
It was interesting how Danielle L. said she like I like it when they kind of openly acknowledge the manipulations of the show, and when she said, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Like we don't have drama the way Corinne and Taylor do. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but maybe that's why. I mean, Whitney, it was like he has no relationship with her, so
they needed to bring Whitney on a two-on-one just so that we would see her have an emotion.
Which
or speak some words.
Barely happened.
Not real. Like, just a little bit of annoyance, mainly, was the primary emotion that we ended up seeing. Like, her? Really?
I do think the, like, whoever does production and, like, picks these locations, the location choices for two-on-ones are always, like, above and beyond the best ones. Like, isolated, can do, like, a cool helicopter shot. So we pan out to this, like, person who's been left alone on a beach.
I wonder if the location scout just found that spot and was like, we need to do a two-on-one here.
Yeah.
I have the whole thing, like, frame by frame, plotted out in my mind.
It was very, very reminiscent of Ben and Olivia's two-on-one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Basically, like, just
again,
in
also,
a different.
Again, also, like, the off-season, slightly off-season weather. In
right,
a, like,
and she's,
beautiful.
Like, just shivering alone. Like, oh, it's just so cruel.
And Danielle also says another thing about the date dynamic that was very honest and acknowledges what's really going on in the show, which is that it, you know, we just had a great one-on-one. It's really hurtful
right.
to get a two-on-one.
It was basically she's, like undermining
yeah.
their relationship or what she thought it was.
Yeah, because the person, the two-on-one is a death sentence. No one really makes it out of the two-on-one, even the person who makes it out.
Right.
But often they don't acknowledge that or they have a little bit of maybe false hope.
Right.
it was, to have her see, say, like, oh, so this is it. Like, this, he doesn't really care about the relationship.
And it also, the one thing I thought was sort of funny was that they, Vanessa kept calling her D-Lo.
Oh, yeah.
Which I loved because I was like, oh, so these are, like, this is, like, what's happening in the house. Especially because, I don't know if you'd read this, but I read that, like, earlier in the season, Vanessa and Danielle had, like, some tension or something.
Danielle
and they just,
L?
Yeah, and they just never aired it because it doesn't kind of fit into their arc of, like,
right.
I think that was, like, a Reality Steve thing. I'm going to shout out my best friend. By that, I mean I just read him.
No, I could see that because Danielle and Vanessa are both kind of sweethearts and they don't want to necessarily sacrifice their images.
Right. But yeah, so it was weird to see her just like she multiple times was like D-Lo. And I was like, is that what we're calling her? Weird nickname.
Yeah, well, I guess because there's two Danielles.
Yeah,
it's like I thought it was weird, and then I was like, "What is it? More or less weird than them sitting
Danielle
around
M.
being like Danielle L is going on the date?
Like they're
can
in
you
preschool.
Which Danielle is going on the date, honey? Oh, it's Danielle L.
Yeah, it is interesting though, because when they kind of, you know, he sends Whitney home. What even happened there? It was like the fastest two-on-one I've ever seen.
It was serious. It was an interview. He does a little sit-down with Whitney. Where,
right.
And he's not even really interviewing her. He's telling her what he sees in her.
Which is nothing.
Yeah. It's very calming how she doesn't stimulate him at all in any way.
And then – so then he like goes to dinner with Danielle. But it's still like you can tell she's still like not sure what's going on.
I mean, he – doesn't look like he knows what's – he's like, why am I here?
Right.
Where am I? He's having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, mid-season crisis.
Mid-season, midlife. It's like he woke up one day and he was like, I'm a 36-year-old man and I'm
– on the show.
On, like, on The Bachelor dating a bunch of 24-year-olds in multicolored swim trunks.
I like those trunks.
Me too.
despite myself, I was like, yep, I like those.
Yeah, I can't – I like a stylish trunk.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Anywho, their dinner is, you can tell it's going sideways.
And that she kind of tries to rectify it by being like, I'm falling in love with you, essentially.
Yeah, because he's just being silent. And she's like, what does one say to fill such a silence as this?
Oh,
I am falling in love.
I did like it when they talked about like words to describe the relationship they'd want. And he said, raw.
Oh, God. Did you like that?
It was so funny.
I couldn't stop cringing for 10 minutes afterwards.
Other words
why
used,
would you
like
use
regular
that
words,
word?
Honest, trust, like those are the other ones. And then he's just like, raw.
I want a raw relationship.
Danielle's like, uh-huh.
Can you be raw with me, Danielle? And she's like, actually, that's not really.
Not really my style.
But it was, I mean, it's not really Danielle's fault because that is kind of an intense question to have sprung on you. And he had time to think about it. But I think his question was, assuming that you have a loving, honest, trusting relationship, what other qualities do you want?
Yeah.
And she said, love?
Yeah. No, yeah, that was so bad.
And he's like, okay, well, I would say that I want a raw, adventurous relationship. What do you think about that?
I mean, we know that he loves the passion.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Given his persona and how worried he is that people will think he's the sex bachelor.
Right. You think he would pick a different word.
Because now everyone's just going to be thinking about, like, does he use a condom?
Yeah. I mean, literally the joke that my friend Franny and I were making as we watched it last night. Shout out to her. Could not stop thinking about that, which is bad.
I mean, it's his fault. What is he doing?
Yeah.
He had time to prepare that. But that was that sort of seemed like the lifeline he threw out to her, where he was like, this is – something is off here, but maybe she'll say something that shows that we have – a real compatibility, and instead he continues to look more and more like he's having some – like a gastrointestinal incident. And
– and then, wait, how does they
– he sends her home.
Right, he sends her home.
So he sort of picks up the rose and
which
says,
is so rude when they pick it up and then put it down.
And then they do the thing where they're like – from the beginning.
Yeah.
I was so drawn to you. And every day since then, I've been drawn to you. I really want to give you this rose, but I can't.
It's really mean.
Want to, but I can't.
Also, they know what's coming. Like, they're not idiots. They've seen the show.
Danielle's face gets really set about three words into his speech. So she knows. But Nick gets pretty emotional and is in the moment, which is clearly taped after that. So he's gotten a little upset. And I wrote down what he said. He says,
hey, I forgot he cried. I was like, how does this episode end? He's crying.
He's weeping. He weeps just through the rest of what we're going to talk about. He says, this is the second time of someone telling me they're falling in love with me and my heart feels differently. It's not a good feeling. And he says it's difficult when it's someone where at the beginning you'd think you were so lucky to fall in love with this person. And then they tell you they're falling in love with you, but your heart says no. So he seems shaken to his very core.
Right. He just like barges in there, gives this little speech, and then just leaves. And all the women are like, what's happening?
He's like, I know what I need to do. I need to go tell the women that I'm having doubts about all of our relationships.
Right.
That's what I have to do now, because honesty is the most important thing.
Normally when they make like big sudden speeches like that, there's like, they're more political and they're smarter about it. And they'll kind of won't be sobbing, or they'll just be emotional and then be like, but, you know, X, Y, or Z, I'm still really happy to be here. And he just like dropped that bomb and ran.
Yeah. Or if they say something like, I'm not sure it's going to work, it'll be almost as punishment because there's some shit happening in the house.
That's like other people's fault.
Yeah. And they'll be like, I really want this to work, but right now I just don't know if I see my future wife in this room.
Yeah.
Mic drop, leave.
Yeah.
But Nick is decided to just
it felt like
that out there anyway.
The weight of his past three seasons had like hit him really hard.
Yeah.
And he was like, what if I'm rejected again? I think he, like, would die, honestly. Like, couldn't a human body handle that much humiliation?
Yes, I'm telling you that it can.
On national television?
But you know what? I was younger. Yes, on national television. poor Nick. It made me think of, have you watched Burning Love? I talk about it
too
much.
Some of it, yeah.
In the first season with Ken Marino, he has a therapist that he's supposed to see to talk about whether he's ready for a relationship. And I really kind of think Nick actually needs a therapist.
Well, they
I love
have
to see
them.
I know, but like, I'm not sure that they use them that much.
Well, also they're like paid by the show. So are they to be trusted? I wouldn't talk to them. I would like just like talk to myself in a corner and like record it and like watch it back or something.
Then you might not have the option of talking to a therapist or not. You might be like mandated to talk to a therapist at that point. I kind of liked it, though. Like, as a viewer, I liked this scene because I remember, like, I thought that Ben was so cautious with burdening the women with his emotions up until the very end.
It was really hard for them to tell what was going on.
Yeah. He was always very even-keeled.
Yeah. Nick is super emotional.
Nick is very open with how he's feeling.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is nothing. Like, a lot of the time, he just seems like he could not be less interested.
Yeah.
But
he's
then
not
when
good at hiding it, for
no.
sure.
No.
Yeah.
No. His eyes just, like, there's this moment in the very beginning when Taylor is talking to him, and she's like, I want him to open his eyes. And then it cuts to him talking to her, and his eyes are just wandering all around anywhere but looking at her while she's talking. And that's kind of the classic Nick look on his dates, is avoiding eye contact. but then when he also can't really hide it very well when he's emotional.
Yeah.
And he tells the women, I guess, in summary, his speech is that he felt very optimistic about Danielle. And then their relationship fell flat. That is a quote, which is a rough thing to say.
Very hard to hear.
That he's afraid that that will happen with the other women in the house or the suite, the hotel suite, the luxurious hotel suite where they're staying. And then he bursts out.
And, like, that's it, right?
Yeah. The women are
shocked.
Raven is very sad that he might not find love, that he might just wander the earth, like one half of the platonic soulmate.
And then the promo for next episode, because of course there's a cliffhanger. We didn't get a rose ceremony.
But he already cut 6 women this episode.
Right, but like some of those women were from crazy. Should have been from last episode.
I know,
you know?
But 3 is a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, are they even going to cut anyone?
Yeah.
Maybe one person? But that would, sure that would bring him down to, what, 5?
Yeah, and then, you know, hometowns will be the week after. So, timing-wise, I think it makes sense. I think that, yeah, so next week's episode we see, like, Corinne is going to, like, do her sexy thing and, like, comfort him and, like,
sneak off.
She has
excellent sex abilities.
Right. Just, like, I've been waiting for this all season. Yeah. So excited to see what happens.
Oh, yeah. She's already whipped out the lingerie under a trench coat. Like, that's in my mind, that's like the most sexy move you can pull.
Yeah.
Like, there's nowhere to go from there. I guess she's going to show him her platinum vagine.
Yeah, which she's now mentioned twice.
It's like a hard, unyielding vagine.
Yeah, it's not like a way that I think is particularly sexy to describe your body, but I'm glad that she's figured out a way to market herself successfully.
Me too, man. It's really beautiful. And did we really see it? That's the only thing I had written down for next week on.
Yeah, that's what really stands out to me. I think there was like some other like happy stuff, so I'm sure things will turn around.
I mean, I hope so.
Can't be, like, depressing the rest of the
season.
We've
seen Nick around town, so we know he's not actually at a sanitarium, mending his broken soul. So, pretty eventful episode.
Yeah, I will say it was the first one where I was like, oh, yeah, this is in the season when it starts to get kind of, like, the emotions are real and it's actually sort of interesting.
Yeah,
it always happens, just, like, all producer manipulation.
Yeah. Although, yeah, we still saw some of that, but they weren't relying on it quite so much. And it always happens so abruptly to me. I feel like it goes right from early season, to late season.
I mean, I was literally writing last week, like, how boring this season has been, which, like, I still kind of stand by. But now I'm like, Kate, you forgot. You fell for the tricks. I will say I was waiting for the bus last night, and I guess like these two guys were also waiting for the bus, and I guess they had also just left like a bachelor viewing party.
Oh my God.
And a limo pulled by, and one of them was like, oh, that must be Nick from The Bachelor. And then another one said, no, it's Danielle L. And then the other guy goes, did that episode make you more positive about your quest for love? Like a serious question.
What?
Yes, this actually happened. And then this guy started talking about how, no, it made me think more about, like, what happened with me and Ashley. And I was like, oh, my God, this is, like,
better
than the episode of television I just watched.
That's amazing. I really would like to just see more men open up about their relationship to The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
I think it's happening more and more.
It's
beautiful.
And this is
proof positive.
Yeah. Like, it's a great medium to allow you to talk about love and journeys, but also feminism and just the weird interplay of the two on the show. But like I've a lot of men feel embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Women find it really sexy when you talk about The Bachelor.
Yes.
I'm speaking for all women here.
Yeah.
It's a true thing. Wow. Well, that's a really positive and uplifting note.
I like it. I feel good right now.
Yeah.
I have faith in Nick, only in that he has to pick someone.
He definitely has to pick someone. And I think we can all agree on that. So thank you so much for joining me today so I didn't have to do this all by myself.
Talk to yourself. I'm happy to do it.
You are so much better than talking to myself.
Emma, you were very missed, though.
Yes. We'll see you next week, Emma. And come back soon, I hope, maybe when Rachel is the Bachelorette.
Oh, my God. Don't
Please.
Even say that I
I'm jinxing
pray for it.
I'm jinxing it. And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail Scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails. First of all, this week there was a pretty high across-the-board level of she's a bitch or she's not ready for a real relationship, barbs being thrown around by the women. Just going to give that a blanket 3. Not like any individual offense being so bad, but that kind of talk is just like poisonous. Next, Corinne calls Lorna a version of Raquel, as if, I don't know, their appliances or something like that. It's very dehumanizing the way that Corinne talks about Lorna and Raquel. And I'm just going to give that a 3 because it really plays into this idea that women as domestic workers are really just there to serve people. Next, Jasmine keeps trying to choke Nick playfully. We didn't give Raven a pass on beating her boyfriend with a shoe, and I'm not going to give Jasmine a pass, even though I think that she's joking. You can't just, without consent, attack people physically. Just don't do it. Going to give that a 4. And our tweet of the week. This week, it's from Jared Freed. That's at JTrain56. Corinne seems like the type of girl who hates anywhere she's seated in a restaurant. Gotta agree on that. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Kate Dries, and our producer, Nick Offenberg. And if you haven't yet, remember to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating and review. We're also on Facebook. Please like us. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon, and Emma is at Emma Lady Rose. Or you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com. Thanks for listening. We'll both talk to you next week.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Way Day starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your cart.
Wayfair, every style, every home.